Now, Rachel, if I could open with your story, please. When would you say your eating disorder began?
Oh, well, I probably first started abusing food when I was about 10 or 11, in the sense of using it for comfort, to try to numb pain, not using it for nurturing or nourishment. And when I went to an all-girls school, obviously dieted about 25 times a year, and was constantly slightly overweight. Although I look back now and I think it was just my altered body image, thinking I was enormous when I really wasn't. When I was about 17 doing my HSC, I became anorexic. I lost an immense amount of weight and actually got down to about 47 kilos. Now, I was never hospitalised from my anorexic period, which would have lasted about a year. I then became bulimic for about 6 to 8 years. And then after that, I... I just sort of dropped the binging, dropped the dieting, and just compulsively ate and became a binge eater. Food has served many, many purposes for me throughout my life. Mainly, when I'm binge eating, it's to numb feelings, to swallow emotions, to prevent myself from actually expressing myself. When I was anorexic, actually denying myself food and watching the attention that I was receiving when I was actually losing the weight was phenomenal. The more attention I got, the more controlled I became about what was actually being put into my body and how much I would exercise. Because, I mean, I was getting phone calls from friends, everybody was noticing how thin I was becoming. At first it was a beauty thing, and then it became a real attention-seeking thing.
Tell me about this bulimia, because bulimia is, it would appear, quite a new phenomenon and not easy to describe. Now, tell me what happens to you.
Well, it's the difference. Bulimia is it's so private and it's so personal and it's such a shameful condition. Basically what happens is, well, for me, in my experience, is I would sit down and eat enough for maybe 10 people in one sitting. I would go into patisseries and pretend I was from an office block around the corner and that I'd lost the list of food that the people I was working with wanted. And so I'd go, oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember what he wanted. I think he likes eclairs, so I'll get 6 of those for his department. And for the other department, I better get 2 of those Kringles and 3 of the Danishes. I would sit in my car. It wasn't until years later that I looked back and realised there is no office block around this particular around the corner from this patisserie. So they must have known what I was doing. I'd sit in the car, inhale this food, and then I wasn't actually conscious of what I was doing, just swallow, swallow, swallow. Then I'd need something savoury, drive to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Then I would feel so hideous, so shameful, hate myself so much, and I would take as many laxatives as I could. I mean, I had a real problem actually throwing up, so I would, I have a stomach of cast iron, so if I really felt the need to totally purge, not just through laxatives, but through throwing up as well, I would take Ipecac syrup. Do you know Ipecac syrup? It's what they give little children when they've had poison. And what actually happens is you convulse, your body convulses and you projectile vomit. So I would go through that. And you see, I mean, what you're putting yourself through, it's horrendous. The humiliation and the shame and the thought of being caught out in the middle of a binge is just mortifying. And I would never eat in front of people. Never eat in front of people. I would eat in private because people might actually connect to the fact that putting food into my mouth was actually relating to my body size, and I thought I was enormous, and I was a totally normal size, 10 to 12.